turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. I was reading this morning, had a little information, and it was saying concerning the United States. It was talking about how grounded and how much we in America believe religiously, how much we believe. And about God, it said that surveying so many thousands of people said to show you how large the percentage is of believers that we have in the United States. It said 90% of all Christians believe in God. And I thought, boy, that's a... I thought it was funny too, Pat. 90% of them. I thought, wow. This morning, I want to, by God's grace, tell you about the God of this Bible. The God that Brother Scott mentioned a moment ago. The God of the Bible. 2 weeks ago, here I spoke on the subject of justification. What does it mean to be justified before God? Justify. Justification is a legal term by which a man or woman is declared to be just before God based on the imputation of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that you understand what I'm saying. A judge that would be sitting on a bench, if I were guilty, had stolen something, a car or something, and the judge wanted to see the record. Let's see his record. What kind of record you got? Here's the record, Judge. And it's the record of the Lord Jesus Christ, spiritually. The judge looks at that record and says, justify. No guilt. Judged to be declared to be just. And I explained justification. Last week, I spoke on the subject of what does it mean to be saved? We speak of salvation. Saved. Who has saved us and called us. Scripture does not say God called us and saved us. It said He saved us and called us. Salvation. This morning I want to speak on the subject of adoption. Adoption. I looked up the word adopt. I'm going to be reading in a moment out of Ephesians chapter 1, but on adoption, spiritual adoption. That's what I've named this, spiritual adoption. And I think that I want to read what Mr. Webster, just out of the dictionary, what the word adopt means. And then I want to look in Scripture. And I want to set forth, Lord willing, what does Almighty God have to say? And this, what He says, I think that, you know, we'll at least outwardly admit. You know, if I'd ask somebody, let's look in the Word of God and just ask, what does God have to say about adoption? What does Scripture say about adoption? And then we'll just say this. Whose side are we going to take concerning the final word on adoption? I think outwardly we would admit, let's say, that we'll take God's side. Mr. Webster says on adopt, you can get your dictionary and look it up. Webster's dictionary, to adopt means to choose and bring into a certain relationship as into one's own family. That was the first point. Second point was this: to take into one's own family by legal process and raise as one's own child. That's what adopt means. Now, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. And I'd like to begin reading. I'd like to read through verse 6. This is what the Scriptures says about adoption. It says, Ephesians 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved." Now this is what I want to do. I just want to just look at the Word of God, and I just want to ask a few questions about adoption. Adoption. What is adoption? Well, the first thing I know about adoption, according to Ephesians 1:3, adoption is to the blessing and the merit of Almighty God. Verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." So the first thing I want to do is I want to say this. Let's bless God for it. Blessed be the God of our Father, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The next thing I know about adoption, verse 4 is that it is God that chose us in Him, that is, in the Lord Jesus Christ. God chose us. Now, adoption has to do with someone choosing someone else. 2 Chronicles 6:6 says, and this is according to God who chose, first of all, a nation, a people whereby He would be honored. 2 Chronicles 6:6 says, "But I have chosen Jerusalem that My name might be there." That's what 2 Chronicles 6:6 says. And also, in that same passage, it sets forth that God chose or selected a king over. He said, "And I have chosen David to be over My people Israel." So God chose a nation where his name would be set forth, and He chose the king. And the Lord Jesus Christ, while He was on this earth, made it clear to all that was around Him who did the choosing. He said in John 15:16, if you can just listen to this, if you want to get the tape later and go back and read all these passages, I'll have you turn to some things in a minute, some scriptures in a minute. But John 15:16 says, "Ye have not chosen Me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit." So what I know about adoption is that it is Almighty God, to the blessing of Almighty God, because God chose. Adoption has to do with one choosing another to be in his family. That's what adoption is talking about. Now, the word adoption, this is what the word adoption means. It means to place a son or to put among the children. It can be one of the two. To place a son or put among the children. So, what does adoption, spiritual adoption, mean? It means that God Almighty chose and considered in, for the sake of His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, a people. He purposed to make them partakers of the grace of adoption. He willed that they would justly, in the person of Christ, enjoy the liberties and privileges of being the children of God, to have His name put upon them, to receive the spirit of adoption, and to have access to the throne of grace with boldness. The adopted sons are by grace enabled, honestly, not in just word only, to truly call Him Father. As sons, daughters, they are pitied, protected, provided for, and chastened by Him as a father. But they are never cast off. They are sealed to the day of redemption, and they shall inherit the promises as heirs of everlasting salvation. And I'm going to, by God's grace, show you that. Everything I just read in Scripture. 1 John 3:1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Adoption. Now let me ask you this. Who are the objects of adoption? Now, as I said, here's adoption means that God chose. Just think about it now. Some of you know something about adoption. Let me ask you this. Who did the choosing? You or the kids? Who chose? You or the kids? Who? Adoption has to do with God making a choice. Who are the objects of adoption? Well, back in Ephesians chapter 1, here's the answer to that. Who are they? Well, the Scripture says, us. Us. That's what it says. Ephesians 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us." Us. That's the answer. Verse 4 says, "According as He hath chosen," who? Us. "In Him before the foundation of the world." Verse 5 says, "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself." Verse 6 says, "To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved." Us. Us. Now, one thing that I want to, by God's grace, to do is not leave anything to the imagination. See, if I just stopped right there, somebody would say, "Well, us is everybody. Just everybody." Well, turn with me to 2 Peter. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. 2 Peter 3:9. Now here's a passage of Scripture that is greatly abused. Greatly abused. And the reason that it's greatly abused is because man by nature doesn't understand what it's saying. 2 Peter 3:9. "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to... Now, I want you to look at this word. Usward. Usward. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's long-suffering to usward. Now, I just read in Ephesians 1, who has God set His affection on? Chosen. Adopted. Us. That's what it says. Us. But who are the us? Now, there's the key. He is long-suffering. The Scripture says in 2 Peter 3:9, Lord is not slack concerning His promise. So, whoever He's long-suffering to has got something to do with a promise. As some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Now, I looked that word usward up. And let me tell you what that word usward means. That word means the point reached. Look it up. The point reached. It means the place, the time, or the purpose. That's what that word usward. He is long-suffering to usward. He is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all... Okay, I know that God Almighty has purposed long-suffering to, according to His promise, to usward, to the point, the place, the time that He has purposed. And He is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all... I said, Gotcha. That all should come to repentance. All. Turn to John 17. Scripture, we always answer it. Anytime you need to answer Scripture, Scripture answers with Scripture. Only Scripture answers with Scripture. Don't ever leave it to yourself to decide what does the Scripture say. That all should come to repentance. In John 17, verse 2, says this, as thou, and the Lord Jesus Christ is praying here, as thou hast given Him power over all flesh. Now, let me ask you this. Who is in control? Who's in control? Almighty God is in control. The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to His Father. That's what verse 1 says. These words spake Jesus, lifted up His eyes to heaven, said, Father, the hour's come, glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son may glorify Thee, as Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to who? To who? The Scripture says, to as many as Thou hast given Him. So therefore, adoption has to do with God choosing and giving to the Lord Jesus Christ a people given to Him. Turn over to John 6:37. John 6:37. Look at this word all right here. That all. Back in 2 Peter, we were talking God is not slack as men count slackness, but is long-suffering to the appointed purpose. That's what usward means, the appointed purpose. That all should come to repentance. John 6:37 says this, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Let me ask you this, how many shall come to the Lord Jesus Christ? All that the Father hath given him. All. Adoption is by sovereign grace without any consideration as to personal excellence in the creature, or the object of adoption, or as to any motive outside of God Himself. Adoption. Adoption. That's what Ephesians 1 is speaking about. Adoption. Spiritual adoption. Blessed be the Lord, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy without blame before Him in love. Predestinated us. Determined the destination beforehand that we should be to the praise of the glory of His grace. Adoption. Those that God Almighty has purposed to adopt into His family were considered to be so from the foundation of the world. That's what Scripture says. He looked down through time. That's what I've heard men say. They said election means that God looked down through time and He saw some that would choose Him, so He chose them. That's what they say. Well, Psalm 14 clears that up real good. Psalm 14, verse 2 and 3. Just turn with me and look there. This is so important that we understand whose word. John 14, 2 and 3 says, "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God." How many are going to seek God? He looked down to see. Leave them to themselves. Leave them to themselves. How many will seek God? Well, verse 3 of Psalm 14 says they are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. There is absolutely, in those that God has chosen and adopted, He looked to see if there were any that did understand, that did understand anything concerning God's glory and honor and justice. He looked to see, and they were not going to seek Him on their own. They were all gone aside, that is, from obedience. They were all together become filthy. That means they stunk. That's what that word means. They stunk. And they were... there was none that did good, no, not one. But these objects of adoption were those that Almighty God purposed to show mercy to and purposed to have compassion on and purposed not to leave them to themselves. Now you see, the thing is that we have to understand who shall get the glory out of salvation. Leave a man, leave a woman to themselves. And what are they going to do? They shall rebel against God. They shall remain in rebellion. They're born in rebellion. But Exodus 33:19 says, "I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious." God Almighty has purposed to be gracious to some that He has adopted. Spiritual adoption is an act on God's part. Sovereign grace. He is not induced by any motive outside of Himself. There's no beauty. I know this. The Scripture says in Isaiah 1:6, take everybody, lump them all into one lump. And here's everybody, from the crown of our head to the sole of our foot. Putrefying sores. We're evil by nature. We're just evil. There's nothing in anyone that God looked at. No one understood. No one sought God. There was none good. No, not one. There was nothing in anyone that induced God. Say, well, boy, they're all pretty bad. But now I'll tell you what, old Marvin, now he's pretty good. I think I'll choose him. since he's showed some goodness. I saw where he'd seek after me. No, there was none good. No, not one. Adoption did not begin in time, but commenced in eternity. Now, let me ask you this. Is that what Scripture says? The Scripture says He chose us in Him when? Before the foundation of the world. Adoption does not commence in time, but in eternity. The will of Almighty God is eternal. There is no new thing, no new will with Almighty God. Ecclesiastes 1:9 says, "The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be done. And that which is done is that which shall be done." It's nothing new with God. "I change not," He said, "therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed." Now, when I speak of God Almighty adopting a people, what do I mean when I say God adopted? Well, I mean, first of all, I mean that this, only Almighty God can adopt. Only God adopts. We didn't adopt God. There's no place in Scripture that says we adopted Him. We decided to take Him into our family. Or that we decided to enter into His family. It's not what it says. God, first of all, God the Father. When I say God, I mean Father, Son, and Spirit. God the Father involved, if I can say that in terms that we understand, God the Father in adoption. The Scripture says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ blessed and chose His people in Christ. Now, when you know, we've heard that term before, chose us in Christ. What does that mean? That means that He considered us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all that was demanded of us, He considered Christ to be the one who would fulfill it, the surety, chose us in Him. If I were to tell you, you know, just consider, I've got a son. Name's Gabe. I'd tell you, say, "Now look, just consider Gabe to be in me. Just consider whatever he owes you, put it to my account. Whatever is demanded of him, put it to my account." You say, "Well, yeah, but he owes me money." I said, well, then put it to my account. "Yeah, but he owes me some time. He's supposed to come out there." I said, "Well, I'll take care of it. Whatever he owes, consider it to me." God Almighty chose His people, the Scripture says, "according as He hath chosen us in Him." Whatever we owe in Him before the foundation of the world. Romans 8:29 says, "He," that is the Father, "did predestinate us to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." Now, He predestinated us to be conformed to the image. The Father set forth His Son to be the image, the likeness, the profile, the representation of the elect's sonship. He did predestinate us to be conformed to the image. He considered His elect to be conformed. That means fashioned like, jointly formed to that image. He set forth Christ as the image and predestinated us to be conformed to that image. That is, that they should be partakers of the divine nature by the imputation of His righteousness to their account, whatever they owed. His righteousness stood for them, imputed to them. Not only has the Father determined upon the adoption of the elect, but He has provided this blessing in an eternal covenant and secured it there. And the covenant runs like this, 2 Corinthians 6, 17 and 18 says, I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. A covenant, a promise, a contract. This is the way it is. I will receive you, having considered you in my son, and what you owe, I will look to him for. The surety. Whatever you owe, he will pay. God the Father. God the Son has a concern in our adoption. Now there's a mysterious union between the Son and the elect. And from this union flows all the blessings of grace to the saints. God has chosen us in Him. Now, John 17:21, the Lord praying in that high priestly prayer to His Father, and He says that they all may be one as Thou, Father, art in me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in us. There's a union between the Lord Jesus Christ and His elect. The adopted ones are first, the Scripture says, of God in Christ. They have everything in Him. Now, this is what that means. His God is their God. His Father is their Father. He is the Son. They are sons. He is the heir. They are joint heirs with Him. He, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, has betrothed them to Himself in righteousness, and that forever. He is their husband. They are His spouse, His bride, and these two are one. One that marries the king's son becomes the king's daughter. Psalm 45:13 says the king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. His daughter. Through His incarnation, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Word, God Himself. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was made flesh. He had a body prepared for Him. And He came being sent by the Father into this world. A son was given. A child was born, but a son was given. Conceived by the Holy Spirit. The blood of Adam did not run through His veins. This holy thing, the Scripture says, the Spirit of God speaking of Him. He came unto His own. As His incarnation, He is the elect's, those that God has chosen to show mercy to in adopting them from the foundation of the world. He's their near kinsman. He's not ashamed to call them brethren. Why? Because as He is the Son, they're sons. They're sons. And through the redemption that was wrought out by Him, they shall receive the adoption of children. That is to say, the blessing before prepared for them. 1 John 1:12 and 13 says this, but to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on His name. And someone says, yeah, but you see, there it is. You've got to receive Him first. You've got to exercise your free will. This is John 1:12 and 13. You've got to exercise your free will and receive Him. Well, the Spirit of God writing through those men, those men of old that were moved upon by the Spirit of God straightened that up before anything else went any farther. He said, yeah, but you have to receive Him. The next verse says, which were born, not of blood, or that is, into the family, nor of the will of the flesh, just because I decide that I want my kids to be saved, I can't save them, nor of the will of man, but of God. It is the Son that makes you free. That is to say, children, not slaves of sin. He has set at liberty them that are bruised. He was anointed to preach deliverance to the captives. The adopted ones are free from the condemnation and the bondage of sin, free from the penalty of the law and the wrath of God. If the Son makes you free, you're free. You're free. Thirdly, the Spirit of God, His work in our adoption. The Father chose us. We chose us in He chose us in the Son. And what happens? The Spirit of God is the quickening God. The author, let me say that, of regeneration. Regeneration is the evidence of adoption. Sons of God are spoken of as being, we read in John 1:13, which were born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Sons of God are spoken of as being born of God. Now this spiritual birth makes men appear to be what God says they are. Regeneration. The Spirit of God is the Spirit spoken of in the Scriptures as the Spirit of faith, who witnesses the truth of adoption to the elect in time. God Almighty has purposed from the foundation of the world, predestinated you unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. God Almighty has purposed from the foundation of the world to adopt a people, chose them in Christ. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that ye are the children of God. Yeah, but you say, yeah, but what that means is whenever we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, then the Spirit of God gives us assurance. Well, won't you just turn with me to Galatians 4. Galatians 4. We're in Ephesians. Just flip over a couple of pages. Galatians 4:6. Galatians 4:6. I said that God Almighty predestinated us unto the adoption of sons, children, by Jesus Christ to Himself. Galatians 4:6 says this. This is what happens. Galatians 4:6. And because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Why does the Spirit of God, the Scripture says, why has God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts? Why has He sent that? It says, because you're sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son. Did the Lord ever speak of sheep, His sheep, that shall come? Turn with me to John 10:15. I said, I know we're turning a little bit here, but just look, these Scriptures, I mean, it does us good. Look into the Scriptures. What John 10:15-16. As the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, says, knoweth me, and even so know I the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. Now look at this, verse 16. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. They're not in Israel. They're not in Jerusalem, Palestine. Where they're not of this fold. Them also I must bring. Now look at it. Now he's speaking what? In the present tense or in the future tense? Look what he's saying. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, they're mine right now. I have them. They're mine. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Other sheep I have. I have them. They're mine. When were they given to him? From the foundation of the world. Chosen sheep. Chosen in Christ. As many as are led by the Spirit of God. That is, led out of darkness into His marvelous light. Led into the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. They are the sons of God. The Holy Spirit is the earnest, the down payment of the inheritance, whereby they are adopted until the redemption of the purchased possession. That's what Ephesians 1:14. And by adoption, we are in the eternal counsel and will of Almighty God, put into relationship as children in Christ. God has adopted us. Adopted. The Lord Jesus, by His obedience in this life and death, has wrought out the righteousness due the law's demand for obedience, and has satisfied the law's demand for justice by imputing our guilt to Him. God Almighty has adopted us. We must be conformed to the image of His Son. We must be holy and without blame before Him in love. He's adopted us unto the predestinated us unto the adoption of children that we should be holy. What does that mean? We must have, Mark, a righteousness. We must have a right. We should be holy. Holy. We must have a righteousness that will answer to God's law. That we should be holy and without blame. How am I going to be without blame? He looked down through time and saw that I was evil. I was none good. What happened? He took my guilt and charged it. I was talking a while ago about the imputed righteousness of Christ. That means that God Almighty considers His righteousness for me. But on the other hand, He considered my guilt to Him. He was made to be sin by law, by His righteous law. God Almighty considered Him to be guilty with my guilt put on Him. That's what 2 Corinthians 5:21. He hath made Him, legally considered Him to be guilty with my guilt, made Him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made or considered the righteousness of God in Him. A divine exchange is what Scripture says. He adopted us, predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. Adoption. The adopting parents in this life take care of everything. All that sonship requires, Almighty God has provided and given us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of God has given us, that is, those that God has chosen, a nature in time they shall, that is suitable to the relationship that Almighty God has called them to. The Spirit of God. Ephesians 2:10 says we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Let me tell you something. Adoption is not a new thing. Left up to feeble, frail men who are incapable of doing anything for themselves, God adopts. We must be born again. But you remember, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And we were born not of the will of the flesh nor the will of man, but we were born of God. Colossians 1:12 says, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet. M-E-E-T. That word meet means qualified. Made us meet. He has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life. He has qualified us. He didn't leave it to us to qualify ourselves. We couldn't. We could not. Those adopted in this life, in closing, are considered as children. In this life, I'm talking about. In this life, in human life, a couple decides to adopt a child. In this life, you adopt a child. You are required by law to educate them, feed them, clothe them, protect them, and have an inheritance for them. As adopted children, sons, we are taught of God by His Spirit through His Word, set forth by pastors, instructed by the preaching of the gospel. According, this is the God of this Bible. This is God. This is what Scripture says about Almighty God. You adopt a child, you have to educate them. We're educated. Adopt a child, you take care of them. You feed them. We're fed by the sincere milk of the Word. That hidden manna fed them. We feed them. We look into the Word of God. The Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit. That's the truth. That's the truth. That's what God said. We're clothed with the robe of righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is, the Scripture speaks of, as the garment of our salvation. We're protected and kept by the power of God through faith as the apple of His eye. And we possess an inheritance that He has prepared that is incorruptible and undefiled and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed. Bestowed. That's a key word. Bestowed upon us. That we should be called the sons of God. Almighty God, in His eternal will and purpose and counsel, chose a people, predestinated them unto the adoption of children. He did it by Jesus Christ. All that was demanded of those that He eternally purposed to adopt into His family, what was demanded of them, they were going to be holy and without blame before Him in love, having chosen them in the Lord Jesus Christ. All that was demanded of them, Christ supplied. Let me say it like that. He took our guilt and gave us a righteousness that He wrought out as the obedient Son. Made us fit, meet, qualified us to be partakers of that inheritance in Jesus Christ. And in time, the Spirit of God, Scripture says, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, whereby you cry, Abba, Father, because you're sons. God sent forth His Son, His Spirit. Came to you and removed the heart of stone, rebellion, gave you a heart of flesh, revealed Himself to you, told you. He said, I adopted you. I chose you. You didn't choose me, I chose you. We say, Father, all honor and glory and praise. You didn't leave me to myself. You called me out of darkness. If you'd left me to myself, I'd have just gone straight to hell. Going straight to hell. Deliver them, though you said. I'm going down to the pit. I found a ransom. Adopted. I mean, you chose me. Why would you set your affection on me? What's the evidence of adoption? What's the evidence? They believe God. They believe Him. They believe Him. They believed Him that He didn't leave them to themselves. They believe Him. Well, I bet you come, Lisa.